All right, that brings us to the final segment of Crunch Time on a Monday. And you know what that means. Well, what we do is we lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline and do this.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Other people want it. It must be good.
So it's bad.
How bad?
Oh my God, that's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
Ah, yes. Time again, we end Crunch Time on Mondays with the Richter Scale. The biggest news from the weekend ranked. And we begin with, of course, Tiger is back. He not only made the cut at a course he had never played at, he was second. He was in the second to last group on Sunday after starting the final round one back. And if that wasn't enough, El Tigre sinks a 44-footer to get within one going into 18 and misses the birdie putt to finish second. How great is it that Tiger is back and actually competing again?
That's a 10 for me. Otherwise, golf is completely boring without Tiger Woods in it. So, without a doubt. I mean, honestly, Steve, and I know you're a golf person, but like, how much were you actually following golf on a regular basis with no Tiger Woods in contention regularly?
Well, it depends who was in the field. I would not have watched this tournament yesterday without Tiger.
No chance.
No, because of the top 15 in the world golf rankings, there were only two in there. So it was a limited field to begin with. It traditionally doesn't draw a field with Tiger in it. Like I said, they broke ratings records compared to last year. The ratings for this event went up 181%. Exactly. They got a 5.1 overnight rating. It's just nobody moves the needle like Eldrick. Yeah, that was a 10 with me, too.
Hey, people sending me messages like, I'm drinking a cocktail, watching golf. I was like, you're watching golf? Like, dude, it's like good weather outside. What's wrong with you?
Golf is for net.
Oh, yeah. Tiger Woods, right.
All right. The 49ers were 0-2 on finding a new cornerback after they missed out on Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters. Oh, yeah. And the Niners were not going to go 0-3 after they learned that Richard Sherman had been released from the Seattle Seahawks. So the 30-year-old corner is coming off an Achilles tear and joining a team that he absolutely dominated for years. How do you rate this signing for the 49ers? Don't forget about Crabtree in the end zone.
And they play the Raiders this year, too, don't they? So he actually gets to go against Crabtree, maybe, if he's healthy enough for it. What are we rating this as?
How do you rate it as a signing?
So the deal is very team-friendly because Richard Sherman is his own agent. And so apparently there's all sorts of bonuses. Like, the base salary is really low, but he gets bonuses if he's actually on the roster and actually plays, like, a certain amount of games. And so it's very team-friendly. I love it because if he ends up being, like, old Richard Sherman, which there's no chance he is because he's coming off an Achilles injury.
He'll be an old Richard Sherman.
Yeah, if there's any chance that he's even close to that, though, I mean, they signed a really good, you know, locker room leader. Who was annoying for me with the Seahawks. But again, if he's the leader that he was with the Seahawks with the 49ers, then you'll take that as well. And so, you know, if he's anywhere close to what he was on the field, take that too. I think it's like a 7. I like it.
He turns 30 in 18 days.
Yeah.
He is a cover guy, but he used to be an outside guy. I think they could still squeeze some miles out of him as a slot guy. Mm-hmm. I was reading on this. I like Sherman. I'm rooting for Sherman. I think it's very low risk. And like somebody said, they need the Sherman of old. No, they need the Sherman of young. But I think I'm going to give it a 7 because, like I said, at the worst, he could provide a little guidance. He's always entertaining to watch. The division itself needs good slot cover guys. So I like it. It's entertaining. I'm actually happy he's back. I'm giving it a 7.
The big event of the weekend was the releasing of the brackets. In classic 2018 fashion, the release wasn't on CBS. The format was changed. The alphabet was involved. And there was a live studio audience filled with people who really didn't cheer all that much. How do you rate the new format for the NCAA bracket release party show?
A party?
Party
rock
show.
And roll. I'll put it to you this way. Since the first brackets came out under this design in 1985 up until last year, it's been 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. If it was anything but this, I would have given it a none because it was just pointless. They basically told us for the first 10, 12 minutes that the teams that won their conference tournaments are in.
What?
Oh, thanks. We didn't know that. and the alphabetical. It just, it actually detracted from one of the great hours of the week. So just because what it is didn't cost that much time, and just because what it is will engulf our lives for 3 weeks, it gets a five. But that's the, it started with a five and gained nothing.
You know what's great is I didn't watch it, and so like for the first time, me not watching it and just getting the thing, like the update on my phone, was actually like the better option. And so I'm feeling really smart today.
Lucky
because,
for you.
Because I didn't waste any time watching that thing this year, because I've heard nothing but horrible things about it.
All right, next up, March means...
So, by the way, a zero.
Oh.
Because I didn't watch it either.
Very, very low. That's not good.
Yeah.
Especially for us.
Yeah, yeah.
March means bubbles, and the bracket is ruthless, and it breaks them. Bubble teams that did not get in: USC, Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, and the real shocker, the 23rd ranked team in the country, 28-5, St. Mary's, headline teams that are not dancing for the rest of the month. How do you rate the decision to leave out these teams?
I give it a 9 because none of them deserve to be in, or they'd be in. They might have a debate with that team there, that team there. They had all this time to prove their point. It's like every time they had a chance to win the right to get in, they failed miserably. They either beat nobody, they either lost to three crappy teams, they maybe went 9-9 in conference, 8-10 in conference, or they played in a Mickey Mouse one horse, like the West Coast Conference, like St. Mary's. Cry me a river. They didn't get in because they didn't deserve to get in.
I think the only argument would be for St. Mary's just because they're in the top 25, but the rankings are basically meaningless as well. So I tend to agree with you. I'd say like a 7.5, but there is an argument for St. Mary's because they were ranked. And if you're a ranked team and you don't get in the team of 64, I mean, what are you saying about the rankings other than they're worthless, which we already know? So.
Well, there are the bubble teams that sneak their way into the tourney, and boy, Twitter did not enjoy the bubble teams that got in. Oklahoma, ASU, Syracuse, and Florida State are the big teams that were shock additions to the field of 68. How do you rate the committee's decision to include these schools?
And who was that again?
Oklahoma, ASU, Syracuse, and Florida State.
I love Oklahoma being in because you got to have Trae Young in that tournament. Like, I don't care who you are. Like, if there's a chance that one player can score 50 points in a game, like, get that guy in the tournament no matter what, just for the excitement factor. I'd say like a 6.5, whatever.
Yeah, I give the same answer that I did for those who got out. Of every team you just mentioned, the last question and this question, none of them made a case to get in. Some of them had to get in, so it doesn't even rate on my scale a 1.
All right, and last one: from Virginia and Nova to Texas Southern and North Carolina Central, the field of 68 is set. How do you rate this year's field overall?
Always a 10. Maybe an 05 and 09. When it looked like North Carolina had no chance to lose. Kentucky in 2012, then it seems like it's anticlimactic. I don't trust any of the ones. I like 27 different teams. I can't wait. It's awesome. It's a 10.1.
Yeah, I like a 10 as well. I mean, there's so much mystery with this bracket as well, because like going in every year, that's part of the fun, is that you don't really know anything about any of these teams. Even though we're sports people, we don't follow these teams. We don't know what the hell they're about. And so you make your bracket, you guess, and then you hope it turns out well. But we know the ones, and those ones are really good. We know Arizona. We know, so there are those big hitters that we know about that are going into this. But everything else is a mystery, and that's the fun about March Madness. So a 10 for me, too, yeah.
All right. That's a beautiful thing.